wonderful turnout, not just in the audience, but throughout the country.
Well, this is such a monumental event. What you're trying to do is really trying to create change, not only in educational institutions, but trying to enhance the education of Latinos. And that's so important.
It is indeed. I mean, it's about raising awareness. It's about encouraging and motivating young people. If we could just simply convince one person today that today is the beginning of the rest of your life and that you're going to work hard in school and access higher education, then we've had a successful summit.
Well, I have to say we have something in common. We're both from the East Coast. And I know it was mentioned that you you served in universities back there. I'm curious, are there practices in terms of curriculum, education that you found worked that you would like to implement here?
Well, you know, I was attracted to come to Cal State San Bernardino. I had worked previously in the CSU. I'm the vice chair of the board of HACU. The fact that San Bernardino has played such a very important role in the Inland Empire really motivated me to come back to California and to provide the leadership and to really become a member of this wonderful, very warm university community.
What's the vision that you have as you take on this new responsibility as president of the university? Are there certain things that you have in mind that you want to change, certain things that you want to implement?
We want to increase graduation rates. We want to continue to increase the number of our graduates who go on to graduate school, PhD, law, medical school. We want to increase the number of students in our P-12 feeders throughout the Inland Empire who graduate from high school and who are ready to do college-level work. And so those are some of the goals that I have and that we have as a university community. Next year, we're going to begin a strategic planning process where we'll look at our mission and vision and values. We have a wonderful university community. Service is part of our DNA, and we're here, really. We're an anchor institution. We're stewards of place, and this is really the people's university.
Unfortunately, when it comes to Latinos, the numbers aren't what we would like them to be. We are still seeing a lot of individuals that aren't graduating, that are not finishing high school. What do you think is the biggest challenge that we're facing?
Well, you know, poverty and its manifestations really impact poor people in general, and of course, you know, Latinos as well. Many Latinos come from low-income families, and that's a real challenge. I think it's, as I discussed earlier, we need to impact early childhood education. We need to make sure that every child, every Latino child, has access to universal pre-K, that we assure that students by the third grade are reading at the third grade level. We're going to have a workshop this afternoon on college readiness. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the strategies that we want to employ to assure that by the third grade, students are able to read at the third grade level and do math at the third grade level. And that in itself will, I believe, improve high school graduation rates. I am a proponent of the Common Core standards. I think that will improve the performance of Latinos in high school. We need to encourage our Latino students and members of other historically underrepresented groups that indeed college education is really almost the only choice you have in today's world.
Being that early childhood education is so important, does that mean having conversations with these educators that are teaching our young students?
Absolutely. Faculty development is very important. Not only encouraging our teachers, but also educating our parents and providing, that's where BICET comes in, Parent Institute for Quality Education, and other church-based organizations or faith-based organizations, so that we can encourage our parents to work with their young children, to monitor their schooling, to seek help out early on so that students stay on track throughout their elementary school experience.
Well, thank you so much. Congratulations again. We look forward to seeing all the wonderful things you're going to accomplish here.
Great. Well, where are you from the East Coast?
New Jersey.
Great.
Thank you again.
Thank you for being here.
Congratulations.
Well, so that was exciting.
It was. I have to say, he has quite a vision for the university. I think he's definitely going to accomplish a lot of the goals that he has. And I Hello. Thought something that was very interesting.
Please take your seat. We're going to start in about a minute.
And we may be interrupted. But something I just want to mention
Un
briefly.
Minuto.
He was talking about it really begins with early education.
Right.
So it's not just thinking high school. It's not thinking, you know, freshman year of college. It's thinking back as third grade.
Right. And I mean, you could see the whole panel in that last one. I mean, I you could see the people's emotions during Josie Gonzalez's story about, you know, how she really wanted to move forward and they were holding her back. But in reality, she pushed and propelled herself forward, and you could see people really taking away from
that. I think
they
could relate to it.
Yes.
I think that's what was the most important thing, and I think something that you just highlighted in this last panel, there was a consistent theme of challenges that everyone was able to overcome.
Right. Yeah, very good, very good. We want to thank you for watching our live stream channel and all of those of you watching throughout the stadium. Please let us know you're watching on Twitter or Facebook. Just go to hashtag LEAD2013, and we will continue the conversation with you.
This I think is we're just going the beginning.
Back. Okay. Well, oh, we have a quick question here. Just 1 minute here.
And I have the honor of being with the 2013 Lead Honorary Chair, or Madrina de Honor, Josie Gonzalez. Congratulations.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for joining us. I have to say, when you spoke, you really brought people to their feet, literally. And it was just so, you spoke from the heart. It was very passionate. You talked about your humble and difficult challenges as you were growing up. What do you think motivated you to accomplish so much?
The word no. No is an extremely powerful article that you come across in your life, whether it's in business, whether it's in education, whether it's in a marriage. The word no, you can't succeed, it won't happen, no one's done it before. Those are very strong obstacles that end up in the heart of individuals, motivating us to move mountains, to push thresholds beyond what we ever thought was possible.
What would you say, I mean, for so many, that word no can either motivate you to do the impossible or discourage you and stop you from doing everything that you're capable of doing. So what would you say, some words that you would share with students, you know, what should they do? How do you move forward when there are so many things that seem to be going against you?
That's a great question and segue to success. I will tell you that many times when we grow up, we lose that energy that we counter when our parents tell us no. I mean, how many times did your parents say, don't touch that, don't do that, don't say that, and you went out and did it anyway? Well, I'm going to tell you that in the adult world, when you are told no, you go out and you find a way. You make a way. You go around, over, under, over, whatever it's got to take for you to achieve your goals. No one's going to hand you the world in a beautiful basket or that proverbial bed of roses. What you do is you go make your hand basket and you make your bed of roses through hard work and effort. And every time someone says no, it's okay. You just figure out a better way to do it.
Ms. Gonzalez, thank you so much. I feel like I should stand up again and applaud you. So thank you so much for being with us and sharing all of your wisdom.
Thank you so much for having me. Y que la lucha continúe en todas las almas de nuestra juventud, porque triunfar por medio de la educación es deber a saber vivir. Gracias.
Muchas gracias. Well, I just had the pleasure of talking to our Madrina de Honor for the 2003 Lead Honorary She's the lead honorary chair, and she was just simply inspirational. And I think in just a few moments, we're going to continue with the summit. Erin is joining me. I think we're about to start.
Ready to go right back. So let's stay tuned right here to Dr. Murillo as he continues.
Thank you so much. Okay, please take your seats. We're a little bit behind on time. Okay. So let me introduce to you our next speakers. Actually, I'm going to introduce to you first Dr. James Fenelon, who will moderate our Arizona update. Dr. Fenelon is professor of sociology and director of our Center for Indigenous People Studies at California State University, San Bernardino. My cola, my good friend, all yours, James. Please give him your attention.
Pilamaya cola morillo. Au mitako yepe. Greetings, my relatives, indigenous nations, and all peoples of the Americas. Ampetu washte. Buenos dias. It is a good day and my honor and pleasure to introduce to you an educator, a cultural warrior, a creative scholar and activist, originally from Los Angeles, through the Midwest, and now operating on the front lines in Arizona as a prelude to assaults on diversity in the United States, which we of indigenous descent know so well. Hegemonic suppression of our communities, our histories, our ways of life, our rights to educate our youth, the next generation, and indeed for the following seven generations. In schools and universities, in the cultural sovereignty of our origins in the Americas, the food we eat, the leaders we respect, and the beauty of our ancestors. I present to you Professor Roberto Dr. Cintli Rodriguez.
Kuali tonali, newanotoka sentotlakatsin, tlasakamati. Thank you for inviting me here. I'm going to make a presentation that normally takes 3 hours. You're going to get 10 minutes. So if it sounds incomplete, it is. But let me see if this thing. Yeah. You know, in Arizona, it's illegal to teach what I'm going to show you right now. And we're going to end with something that's also illegal. It's bizarre. I mean, we're living in a different state, different century, you know, seems like a different era in Arizona. That which is in front of you, I feel awkward because I know it's behind me, but it's in Arizona to teach the idea of what it means to be human is basically the what's on the left, in la kesh pancheve unapku. In my classes at the university, that's at K through 12, I teach what's on the right also. This is the basic explanation of In La Kesh, tú eres mi otro yo, you are my other self. Pancheve is to seek the root of the truth. Really, I think that's probably the problem, so to speak, that it isn't really about truth, but about the pursuit of justice, and that's what upsets Arizona politicians in a big way. The concept of Unapku is basically the explanation of the universe. All peoples have that throughout the world, you know, but apparently that's when Europeans got here, they thought that was demonic, it was criminal, and people still think that to this day. That's what we're living in. Oh, and by the way, I maintain that what I'm explaining to you about Arizona already happened all over the country, probably the continent, but definitely the country, because what is there to outlaw in most schools throughout the country? There's nothing to outlaw. This is what we were teaching, but this is not being taught in San Bernardino, not being taught in Houston, in Chicago. This was already taken away. So we're bringing this back. And our movement's gotten even bigger as a result of the threats to eliminate us. So I'd like to leave with you the idea that in what we've done in Arizona is create a resistance creation culture. And again, Pancheve would be that example. Unidos, for example, when they took over the school board, I know some of you or a lot of you probably seen it, they chained themselves to the school board. They invoked the 2007 UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. When we fight, we invoke 9 international treaties and conventions. And I always tell my students, came up with this, well, both myself and my students, is the concept of, well, you'll see, it's culture, history, identity, language, and education. That's Chile. Nine international treaties support that. And on top of that, there's a silent H, which is health. Anyway, the creation part of what we do, because that's, and we've had like over 100 protests, believe me, a lot. The creation part of what we do is we run. I just ran this morning on the way over here. No, by the hotel. but we run, and we run through the desert. We ran twice, the first time in 115-degree heat from Tucson to Phoenix. It was amazing. We run for everything now, domestic violence, sexual violence, obesity, diabetes, everything. Part of it is like we know that it's not about external. Part of it is ourselves, so we cleanse ourselves. Remember, I'm rushing through this, so just remember the thing to take with you is the idea that we don't need help in Tucson. We don't need help in Arizona. You need to create your own. Wherever you live, that you need to create raza studies, ethnic studies, indigenous studies, students in fact, you can see it up there. When Unidos Step Forward, they asked for Mexican-American indigenous studies, African-American, LGBT, women's studies, native studies, you know, all of it. Nobody's satisfied with simply like black and brown only. It's got to be everything. Everybody's got to get educated. It's like what the youngsters over there say, either we're all equal or none. Okay. The backdrop to HB 2021, I think most of you are aware. You know, that's that whole immigration thing. It's ugly, and we have a lot of ugly politicians that are doing their worst. You know, they're doing their best to do bad things. I think the one thing I would like to emphasize is Operation Streamline. I don't think any of you have ever been, everybody, some of you are old enough to remember apartheid South Africa. Even in apartheid South Africa, they didn't have Operation Streamline. When you walk into the courtroom, 70 Mexicanos on the left-hand side, a few from Central America, a few women. All of them are brown, short, shorter than me, you know, and everyone in jumpsuits, handcuffed to the wrist, the waist, the ankles. And in 1 hour, they are charged, convicted, tried, sentenced, and sent to a private prison. Private prisons are making tons of money off of us, off of our peoples. That's the backdrop. So right there, this is where I'm going to have to turn around because my glasses are, here's the good news. When we were fighting, I mean, in the biggest clashes, we had a school board that was 4-1 against us. We had our elections. That's why people say elections do matter. We had elections, and now it's 3-2 in our favor. So, and guess what happened as a result? Just last week, our superintendent, who gave us hell, resigned because of the 3-2. Yeah. The young kids, and I'm going to leave this. Anybody who wants this can have it, all right? And my info will be at the end. But that way you can see the specifics because the youngsters put together a document called Intellectual Warriors Document, and that's what we think should be the basis for everything. And it's like the one that won the recipient right now. We have an expression similar. Well, I'll explain when we get to it. But it's that idea. Yeah, you can't think that you might lose because if you think you might lose, you will lose. You know, you have to think victory always. One of the things that is recent is we had the desegregation lawsuit it's a 40-year desegregation lawsuit. And in the end, they gave us more than we even asked for. They said we could have culturally relevant classes for Latinos and African Americans in every single high school. We only wanted to reinstate the program. So every high school, middle school, and elementary school. So that was big. We had a defeat in the judicial system. That is, what do you call the Toshima federal courts? They upheld HB 2281. But I can assure you this, those of us in Arizona, we don't recognize HB 2281 because it has a number as a law. We don't recognize it as a law. So HB 2281, like SB 1070, we will never recognize them as laws because they're both unconstitutional and they violate every single human rights treaty in the world. So it's subject to appeal, but the thing that we tell everybody, it doesn't matter what the courts say, it's what we say. Now that we have a school board, it's up to the school board to carry out what we have done, what we have asked for. And a lot of us have gotten arrested. I've gotten death threats. Mostly women are the ones that get arrested. I mean, we have a fierce community. And I can tell you this, I'm from LA, and I'm from that generation. When we would see cops at rallies, we'd run. In Arizona, it's different. We come up, the youngsters come up to the police and say, we're here to get arrested. And the police get freaked out. And like, say, no, go home, go away. And I go, no, we're not going home. We're here to get arrested. In Tucson, where I live, for the first time in the history of this country, five Dream students unmasked themselves, sat down in McCain's office and said, here we are. I think about a month later, more Dream students went to Arpaio's office and said, here, we're here to give you a citizen's arrest. And if you want, try and arrest us. And he didn't arrest them. Like I say, we lost that fear of arrest. Mira, so when I talk about creation resistance or resistance creation, this is the part of the creation. That is, the ideas of Inlakesh and Pancheve Unapku come from this idea of one continent, one culture, based on maíz. I don't know, some people think of it as a radical idea. My students wonder, what's the big deal? I mean, it's as simple as they tell us that we don't belong here, and I tell them, I said, you know what, when you eat a frijol, when you eat nopal, when you eat tortillas, you know, you're eating food that's 7, 8, 9,000 years old. And if you believe science, we are what we eat, then how could we be illegal? Mira, this is what was considered outside Western civilization. And again, I'm going to have to turn around and read it from here. But I wish you could read it, because then you could say it too. But mira, it's tú eres mi otro yo. Si te hago daño a ti, me hago daño a mí mismo. Si te amo y respeto, me amo y respeto yo. You are my other me. If I do harm to you, I do harm to myself. If I love and respect you, I love and respect myself. Imagine that's considered hate. Yeah. I mean, that's how warped it is in Arizona. And as I said, the concept of Pancheve, it's not only to seek the root of the truth, but to pursue justice. And that's what our students have trained. You know, nobody told them, nobody forced them to protest, and they have over and over and over. And at one point, they sicked over 200 police officers, helicopters, bomb squads. It was ugly. And seven women got arrested. You know, for what? For speaking, for reading. I think one of our elders began with, Martin Luther King's, his talk from Mississippi jail. Yeah, powerful. But that's Pancheve, you know? Not just the truth, but that pursuit of justice. I'm sorry. If you look at the bottom, see, I've been a journalist for 40 years, and we have a journalistic ethic called Don't Believe the Hype. It's also hip-hop. We, in academic circles, we call it critical thinking. Unapku, you know, they say that there were gods and devils and all this stuff. You know, Unapku, that's the symbol, the representation of Unapku, not a statue, but a mathematical principle. You know, our peoples were scientific, astronomical. I mean, I think all the engineers and science, everybody knows that, you know, totally mathematical. But again, they were living in the dark ages, and some are still living in the dark ages. And, you know, this is the most awesome thing. This is part of our heritage. I mean, I don't know, some of you may think of it, it's somebody else. No, it is part of ours. You know, that one continent, one culture is basically the Maya Nahua culture. The Popol Vuh, if you look at the bottom, they found these murals in San Bartolo, Nakbe, and El Mirador that are over 2,200 years identical. It's identical to what we know as the Popol Vuh that was written in the 1700s. So, you know, we have our histories written down. Even though they burned everything, as I always tell my students, you can burn pages, you don't burn the knowledge. So, you know, we still have that. So this is what they're against. They don't want us to teach that. They're okay if we teach our students that Columbus showed up and created us, apparently. Anyway, if we tell them that, wait a minute, there was Tenochtitlan, you know, there was Teotihuacan, you know. In other words, they don't want that. That's considered other people's history, and we say no. And that's why our students fight. And once they have that knowledge, it's like Cesar Chavez used to say, you can't uneducate someone once they're educated. You know, the stories of the maíz is in the Popol Vuh, but also the Codex Chimalpopoca. I have the honor to do this as a play with little kids. It's awesome. You know, and I'll tell you the 10-second version. It's that Quetzalcoatl and Quetzalcoatl create human beings, and then they can't move, so Quetzalcoatl is charged with finding food for the people. he finds little ants carrying corn on their back, and to make a long story short, they take them to a place called Tonalcapet, Sustenance Mountain, and that's where we get all the foods of the continent, really the world, because all the foods that I mentioned a little while ago, they feed the entire world right now. And it came from a place, Tamuanchan, just like in the Popol Vuh. I tell you, incredible stories, incredible histories. All peoples have stories. You know, that's why in our students, we don't teach them to hate Greco-Roman culture. It's the exact opposite. We are being told that our culture, there's something wrong with ours. Still to this day, there's nothing wrong with Greco-Romans, etc. You know? Anyway, this is the concept, like I said, because I might run out of time. If I do, at least this is the concept I want you to go away with, because that's what I was hearing a little while ago. The concept of men, okay, and not in English, okay, but in the Maya Yucatec language, is creer, crear y hacer. You know, that's to believe in something, you know, and then to create, and then to follow through. It's that idea, like I said, when all these decisions, some of the people were running around, moping around that we lost. I said, no, we didn't lose. We won. And I'll tell you, and so it's up to us to define that victory, carry it through, and be relentless about it. Because if you believe, I guess that's what I was saying, if you believe you lost, we do lose. Time?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to just run. I'm just going to just go all the way to the end. And I said, no explanation, just go to the end. These are these concepts. And again, you're welcome to them. Mira, this is one of our elders being escorted out. And this is, we have to adopt the language of human rights, indigenous human rights throughout the world. It's not random stuff. And that was considered illegal. They forced one of my colleagues, a teacher, take that down. Again, it's considered illegal. Anyway, that's my information. If you'd like the 3-hour presentation, you can have it. I'll send it to you by email and all that, okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate the update.